shake, shake. Sorry about that, a bunch of ants there. Good morning, CKLN radio listeners. It is November 22nd, 2010. You're listening to CKLN's Rude Awakening here on 88.1 FM, CKLN.FM, and Rogers Cable Box 947 on your television. Congratulations to CKLN's First Ladies of Reggae for raising $780-something dollars in their time here on air. They are brilliant at the reggae, and their fans rewarded them, and so... Certainly, congratulations to them. Congratulations to everyone here at CKLN for raising money, and everyone out there who donates. Thank you so much. It is Fun Fest, and I apologize here on my show. I had a really, really jam-packed show full of clips planned, but I don't have a computer working or a computer channel that is feeding through to my my mixing board, near as I could tell. Let me try this again. See what I'm used to. Nope. So what does that mean? Well, that means that I'm going to break down an issue with the Metro for you, talk about a few different things. But it also means that we could use your help here at CKLN Radio, Community Radio, where we can play the music that we feel, not the music that people feel you should hear, but the music that we as hosts on air feel and really care about and really appreciate and admire, and not just the stuff that... And not just the stuff that radio stations tell us to play. And I apologize, I'm fishing out a couple of CDs here to make the show. I do like playing music behind what I break down here. The New World Order, the system of globalization, our social engineering as part of a wannabe scientific dictatorship by a handful of elite families, mostly central banksters and their various allies and minions. Now, if this is true, if there are a handful of people out there that want to create a scientific dictatorship, that want to, you know, turn us into debt slaves and lower our standards of living as we can see and as we see people, you know, from all walks of life talking about how the next generation won't have it like we had it, we had it too good, and these things sort of become part of the way we think, you know. How can I talk about that? Well, I can talk about it because I'm here at CKLN Radio. And as a community radio station, as an unpaid volunteer host who does this at this time in the morning for the passion of it, I'd like you to support my efforts here in the CKLN Rude Awakening Show throughout the week, Mondays through Fridays, but also on Mondays and Thursdays when I host from 6 to 7 a.m. So to do that, how would you do that? Well, you can call in at 416-595-1478. 416-595-1478. Call in anytime from now until November 28th. 6 days left in Fun Fest. And we are all sort of, you know, appreciated for you know, what we bring in on our show. We don't really ask our listeners for money any other time of year. And we don't really make that an issue, unlike some public radio stations. We may have to if we don't get much money. But the point is that this is the time of year when we do that. So again, the number's 416-595-1478 here on CKLN Radio to call in and make your donation. I'm going to leave you with some tunes while I grab something for a sec, and I'll be back. But please do think about donating, and then we'll get right into the show. CKLN listeners a bit more my speed, a bit more our speed here. Some funky reggae to continue the funky reggae vibe. Apologize for the interruptions there. But yeah, so here we are at CKLN Radio, CKLN's Rude Awakening. It is November 22nd, 2010, and I'd like to flash back 47 years to November 22nd, 1963. This was the day that John F. Kennedy was assassinated. John F. Kennedy, President of the United States of America at the time, was assassinated in Dealey Plaza in Texas, supposedly by who? Lee Harvey Oswald. Except, you know, he's come out saying, nah, I didn't do it, to quote Shaggy, another reggae star. He was killed shortly after he was arrested by Jack Ruby. And then Jack Ruby was killed shortly after that, and the mystery continues. But it has been 47 years, and oddly enough, the exact same day, another notable luminary figure died, and that was Aldous Huxley. Author Aldous Huxley died on the same day, November 22nd, 1963, shortly after his talk at Berkeley in 1962. I played a clip of last week where he talked about how it's entirely possible for people to learn to love their servitude based on a scientific dictatorship where through scientific indoctrination, through cultural brainwashing, through altering of our body's chemistry, through the food supply, manipulating the food supply, and injections and vaccines and drugs and pills, you know, they could create a situation where we learn to love our servitude. And by our, it's interesting. What is our servitude? You know, I was hearing a bit of Alan Watt from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com this morning on my way in here to do the show, where he, you know, he was talking about the destruction of the family, and now there's little pole people and little girls, you know, pole dancing with mommy at the pole dancing classes. And you know, we're supposed to think there's nothing sexual about this, and if we do, then we're perverts. And yet, you know, the bigger agenda to push these type of trends is, aha, gotcha. And so, as part of this conversation, a caller called in and talked about how he estimated, being an anti-New World Order, you know, anti-globalization researcher, that that in studying this for about 3 years, he's noticed that 90% of people don't have the concept of tribe, of extended family, of community. At least not in the traditional sense. You know, I mean, we could probably be guilted into donating to something or other here and there, but we don't have that traditional sense. So, you know, when we say we're under attack, individually we might not feel it, but if you can see around you, you know, things like, you know, child poverty, you know, homeless people. And yet, you know, $45 million upgrades to Nathan Phillips Square at City Hall, you know, empty churches, you know, when they have plenty of space to house, you know, the poor and the needy, as you'd expect their mandate to be, then you can start to see the attacks on you, because you got to live here. You know, this is kind of like, if in your house or your condo, you start to see cracks in the ceiling and, you know, holes in the couch and, you know, rips in the carpet and leaks, you know, in the floor and so on and so forth. You know, you could still say, well, you know, my immediate physical surroundings, sort of in the 2 or 3 foot personal space bubble that I envision in my head wherever I go, is still fine. But I'm starting to notice, you know, around, you know, the edges here that where I live is being threatened. So here on CKLN's Rude Awakening, some of the clips I was going to play today include the John F. Kennedy Secret Society speech clip, as it's known. If you haven't heard this, today's a great day to hear it. So Google Kennedy Secret Society speech or JFK Secret Society speech. You can find it. You can get the original 22-minute speech from 1961 off the JFK Library at jfklibrary.org. You can download a copy there, and you can hear it for yourself. And it's a great speech. He starts off, and the speech is called The President and the Press at the Waldorf Astoria in New York. And we have a caller. So let me take this caller before I continue.
Sweet.
Shannon, can you hear me? Shannon? All right, I kind of messed that up. That was my colleague Shannon calling in here from CKLN Radio. And so hopefully he'll call back in and share some words of wisdom. But the bottom line is this, is that in the JFK Secret Society speech, he initially starts off by charming the assembled press. It's called the President of the Press. He's speaking at the American Newspapers Association meeting in New York. And, all right, let me see if I get this right. Let's see here. Hello, good morning.
Hey, VJ.
Hey, what's going on?
College man.
All right. Break it down for us. This is Shannon, host of CKLN's Plunder News on Sunday mornings from 8:30 to 9:30. Shannon, what are you saying?
Good morning, VJ. Congratulations on your Mayotte run there.
Thank you, sir.
So that was pretty exciting. You know, I just wanted to offer to the listeners, I got made a couple MP3. I don't have my radio on, man.
No. We'll get you right. We'll get your levels right. Go ahead.
Yeah. I got a couple MP3 CDs I made full of anti-globalist stuff. So they're called Opus 1 and Opus 2. And they're in the Sunday bin under, if you give it away, you can find them down there.
Okay.
I'll just tell you about them quick. Hopefully for like a $20 pledge each, or maybe no, $25 pledge, one E3 CD, 40, let's say. Anyway, it runs about 30, 40 hours total.
Wow.
Maybe about 15, 20 each CD. Yeah, it's all kind of stuff I called off the net over the last year. First one is dealing with economics, eugenics, G20, 9/11 truth, and a little bit of UFO materials in there.
Yep.
In case you are looking for an education in that area, cover stuff from Alex Jones, Democracy Now, what else? Corbett Report, and something called Cash Flow. A little bit of other little things in there. All, you know, that's stuff that I heard on the last year. It's all good. And the Opus 2 is with food and health and...
Well, speaking of that, there's an article right here at theglobemail.com saying, "What's on your plate? Canada lags in tracing food safety and tracing food for safety and profit." So the attacks on our food supply, the next wave of this, have started, Shannon.
Oh, yeah. It's all over the place in terms of there's a little bit of something and everything there. It's got to watch out for.
All right. Well, perfect, Shannon. So you have two CDs, Opus 1 and Opus 2, and people can have themselves a happy Opus day or several. With the 30 or 40 hours of info each on those. So you heard that out there, folks. Call in at 416-595-1478 to make your pledge. $25 will get you the CD. I also have copies of Invisible Empire by Jason Burmes, Casablanca, and Dave Chappelle's Block Party to give away. So donations of $25 or more will get you one of those DVDs and help support the station. Anything else, Shannon?
Yeah, and if you want to keep up on the globalist, like what the corporate media is telling us, just to sort of be able to read between the lines a little bit, you can get an order, you can get a prescription to the Toronto Star, a 3-month subscription for, say, a $75 pledge, because it's a $100 value. So for $75, you can get a 3-month subscription to the Star to be delivered to your door.
Oh, there it is, and I do read the Star on occasion. Pretty good paper, but you got to look beyond that to get the bigger picture. Perfect, Shannon. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right, have a good day.
Yeah, man. Take care.
All right. Again, that was Shannon from Plunder News here on CKLN Radio on Sundays from 8:30 to 9:30. Another talented anti-globalization, anti-New World Order crusader out there. Here on CKLN Radio, and that's the point. And, you know, sometimes people will say, what's the point? Why would you bother doing this? Whatever. The fact that we can say it, the fact that we can talk about this stuff, gives us a shot. But once we completely give up on the idea of even talking about this stuff, that we don't really have a chance. And so here on CKLN Radio, CKLN 88.1 FM, CKLN.FM online, and Rogers Cable Box 947, we have a chance to do that. So give us a call to pledge, 416-595-1478. Got a couple of audio CDs full of material for you, about 30, 40 hours each. And we also have the DVDs Invisible Empire by Jason Burmes, a documentary about the shadow government behind the scenes. And tons of proof, basically. If you haven't seen Invisible Empire, it's a great film, great DVD. I got this copy off Patrick at Conspiracy Culture and thought I'd bring it in and flip it here for a pledge. But it's fantastic because it's got a whole bunch of top political leaders and journalists and news anchors saying New World Order, among other stuff. And it basically breaks down, you know, how admitted all of this is at this late date. So I was talking about the JFK Secret Society speech, segued into the lack of a tribe, and sort of helped explain that with Aldous Huxley. In the clip I was going to play, and I hate this, you know what I was going to do if stuff worked, but the clip I was going to play had Aldous Huxley talking about the scientific dictatorship and how addicted to pleasure we all are. There's nothing wrong with pleasure. It's just that, you know, it can be used to control us. It's like the Mata Hari spy type thing where these female spies supposedly sleep with people for secrets, information, to control them or even to kill them. And so basically what the New World Order is doing is they're giving us our pop culture as a sort of opiate to distract us and to implant certain ideas into our heads. But, you know what, I've explained a lot of this a number of times in the show. Today I want to break down this metro because I'd like to, it's good to go through it piece by piece when you have the industry or when you have the opportunity. Although I do apologize. I really would like to have played all the clips. I had a clip from Joe Rogan, the Joe Rogan Experience, JoeRogan.net. A clip from Webster Tarpley on how the $600-700 billion quantitative easing U.S. Federal Reserve stimulus package is just a sign of how they can get money whenever they want, obscene amounts of money whenever they want to give to big banks, but they can't get a shiny nickel's worth for, you know, the needs of ordinary people. You know, stopping, you know, home mortgage foreclosures, funding education, you know, funding, you know, proper health care, and so on and so forth. So, you know, he was talking about how you could hijack that money. And we could do this. You know, there are a million things we can do. I'll break down some of those towards the end of the show here on CKLN Radio. Again, the number to call in is 416-595-1478 if you would like to pledge. Your pledges do help, and so we appreciate that. All right, so I'm looking at the cover of today's Metro, which I fortuitously grabbed. Wasn't sure if I'd had to, but I did fortuitously grab it. And I also do have a couple of articles from the online InfoWar, which I'd like to break down as well. But I really was, you know, mentally I was prepared to have a really fun, clip-heavy show today. I had a whole narrative weaved in. I just in the last few days, last Thursday, went hanging out at bar with Buddy and sort of semi-skirt chasing. He's showing me some plenty of fish stuff on his iPhone. Oh, and we do have a call coming in. One sec. Let's see if we can bring this caller up. Good morning, caller. Can you hear me?
How you doing this morning?
Not too bad yourself, sir.
Okay. I'm just calling in. Back to $25.
You'd like to pledge $25?
Yes, I would.
Fantastic. Can we get your name, sir?
Sean.
Sean, okay. Sean, do you want to send me an email with details, or do you want to give me the full? I'm just writing down Sean 25. And how would you like to? I don't know how I'm supposed to file this, honestly, but I do sincerely appreciate your help. I'm sorry I'm not as hip to this as I should be. But how are you going to pay? Check, cash, credit card?
Credit card.
Credit card? Okay. Tell you what, Sean, can I call you back after the show? I'm not sure if there's anybody here to collect that information off the air. Ernie, you know what? I can do that off the air. Hold on a sec. I'm going to turn the music up.
Actually, let me talk, did you?
Are you on? What?
Yeah, I'm still here, man.
No, give me a call. I'll give you my phone number. You give me a call after.
I'll do that. That'll be easier. Sean, what you? Okay, I'm going to take you off the radio for a sec and get your number.
Okay.
This is Plunder.
All right, sorry about that, Sean. I appreciate it. After the show, you can call me at 647-857-5755 or email me, vijay.sarma@gmail.com. Normally there's people in the other room, and a colleague of mine did sign up for this. Shannon, are you there?
Yeah.
Are you in the studio?
No, man, I'm on the phone still.
Are you still
I
on
guess
the phone?
That's why they can't call in, eh?
Oh, no, that guy called in. You were both on the air at once, and so... I guess I should let you talk to him. I don't know how that... Could you guys talk after I dropped him?
Well, I'm on the 1478 line, so maybe he was on the other line.
Ah, okay. You know what? I got to let you go then.
Yeah, they better let me go, yeah.
All right, I'll tell you what. For my listeners out there, you know, this isn't... there's usually somebody in there to take pledges like this. My cell number is 647-857-5755. 647-857-5755. If you could call me after the show in 15 minutes, I'd appreciate that. Because I'm just not sure how else to do this. And I apologize for being a little discombobulated this morning, trying to do the best I can here. Going to break down some of these ideas. So 647-857-5755, that's my number. I'll take care of the information, and then I'll pass it on to the people here at CKLN to process everything. We have another phone call. CKLN, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi. This New World Order stuff that I keep hearing about.
there's tons and tons of wackiness. What's your name, sir, and what do you got to say about the New World Order or anything else?
Well, my name is Nico, and I've been studying, researching it now for about 14 years.
Beautiful.
And I always thought it was just some kind of facade. My dad talked about it. Nobody believed him. Everybody thought he was a crazy nut bar. Now everything's coming to fruition. I just want to know, what are we going to do about this? What are we supposed to do about this? Information is one thing, but unless you do something, it's just that.
I tend to agree with you, Nico. I know that you know, so much of our culture is based on entertainment now, where the news and entertainment have been kind of mushed together to the point where everything is just sort of supposed to be amusing. You know, it's not supposed to be actionable. We're not supposed to think about it in any detail or for any length. And so as part of our socialization, many of us will even treat the information about the New World Order this way, where it'll just be, you know, did you hear they're doing this? Like in the same way people would say, did you hear the new, Justin Bieber song? And so, you know, there have to be ways to sort of, you know, reach out to people that don't want to hear this by making it clear that you know, it's for their benefit. You know, instead of breaking down something that's totally esoteric and just interesting, you know, how do we help them lower their taxes? How do we help them improve the health of their kids, their own health? You know, how do we help them, you know, control their political system? And how do we help them understand their culture and where they live?
I understand that, but, like, I mean, not much being done. Like, I have a group of friends. We go out, not too regularly, but we go out and we deposit DVDs and CDs on the whole affair and what's going on. Incognito, at the middle of the night, we'll leave them on their cars, we'll leave them on their front doorsteps. But the majority of people I talk to one-on-one just seem very ignorant. They don't want to believe us. Like, I mean, the end is here. I believe so. At least this is from what I've been gathering my information. The time is here. Is there anything to be done? I'm not talking about anything violent or anything to that extent, but we need an awakening, a huge awakening. And your show is great, but unfortunately the time that it's on really doesn't suffice. It's got to be more, I don't know, in the mainstream.
Well, I agree, and I think that my show, I mean, on my show, I basically try and offer, in addition to the analysis, some things that could be done. But here's some ideas. I get a million ideas on what could be done. It's just, will we do it? And when I was working on these issues over the last year or two, I've been saying that this is a last stand for the fate of the human mind. Because if we can't think of anything to do but you know, if we can't think of anything to do except something that is, you know, karmic, like, oh, well, most people don't do anything, so at least I do this, or at least I did something, then we're screwed. Like, if we can think of, like, okay, you have the naked body scanners, how do you get in touch with your, you know, ministers of parliament or MPPs or city councilors, and how do you force them to introduce legislation to stop them? If we can't get involved in that process, we're screwed. I mean, there's no doubt. And so that's the whole point. I mean, how, you know, this isn't rocket science, Nico, as I see it. This is doing the same thing every other group does when it comes to petitioning politicians for redress, because they are ultimately the ones who control policy, and they control the people with guns. If they tell the people with guns to shoot us, we'll probably get shot. If they tell the people with guns to shoot the people fluoridating our water, you know, they'll probably stop or get shot. So,
well, the worst part is they're telling us to shoot each other, and that's what we're doing. Killing each other, we're arguing with each other, we've got this race thing, we've got this gangsterism. It's gotten overboard, the whole rap thing. Like, I've been raised and bred in the ghetto my whole life. I'm trying to get out, and it just seems that they're promoting it more and more and more. We can't go to our politicians, ones that are doing it. Like, I think it's almost like a dead-end street.
Well, no, we can. We just need to go to them with the truth and in numbers, and we need to let people know, you know, what we're up to, so that people go, oh, okay, well, at least I'm glad you're, you know, I've had a lot of experience with this with Toronto Truth Seekers and myself, and from my own campaign for mayor, which I pretty much ran by myself, because there isn't, you know, we don't have much faith in each other. And I'll tell you how this breaks down. I was at a wedding on Saturday, and I hanging out with some of my six-figure wiggers, and they're doing pretty good, and yet, you know, in the social environment, you know, at the wedding and meeting lots of people, I found that sometimes there's not a faith in each other, in the sense of even being able to listen to each other or being worth talking to. And I'm not saying as a, you know, overall, I'm just saying I can see the mission creep of the scientific dictatorship, you know, where, you know, for instance, if I say to you, Nico, look, Nico, what do you have to do today? Meet me after the show. Let's go drop off a couple thousand flyers, you know, on this topic to these people who have a specific need, you know. I'm not sure if you'd go, yeah, let's do this. And that's the point, and that's on the anti-New World Order level. Let's talk about a straight conversational level. When you meet somebody at a party, how much do you say to them? Are you afraid of stuff to say to them? Are you afraid of what they'll say to you? Are you afraid of getting trapped in a conversation? Are you afraid of being offended? You know, there's all these thoughts that are on our mind here in communist Canada as a spillover effect. So I'll say this. We can't give up on our faith in people, because then, you know, life won't be worth living, and this place won't be worth living in, and then we'll find logical explanations for the end, and then those will get fashionable, and then all of us will parrot them. So then, to fit in with people, you know, everything's about fitting in with people. So if to fit in with people, you know, you can say, yeah, people should have no more than one child. I totally believe in abortion. I think marriage is outdated. You know, God sucks. And, you know, let's nuke Iran, and, you know, we got to stay in Afghanistan until 2014 to train the Afghanis, and we just parrot the things we're supposed to, because that's how we gain social acceptance. We're screwed. So, Nico, I'm just saying we got to try and transcend that, because I can see exactly what you're talking about. I just see it getting worse if we don't react to it.
Definitely, without a doubt, I foresee this. Like, I look at my dad, and my dad's dying because of the medical, all the medicine he's taking. We're trying to stop it. They won't stop it. It's ridiculous. I just think we're overpowered, and there's not enough of us out here. But at the same time, I do thank you for your program, into it every morning, including the music. I don't know. I just I had to speak. I had to just put out what was going on.
Well, look, Nico, I'll give you an example. All right. Right now, I'm working on the Toronto 2012 project, and I'm trying to figure out, you know, how do we get this newly elected city council that's going to make $400,000, you know, over the next 4 years, $100,000 a year, guaranteed money plus expenses? How do we get them to take the fluoride out of our water in the next, you know, 6 to 12 months? And ultimately, it isn't about, you know, enough of us know that fluoride sucks to be able to make an issue of it. So, you know, all we have to do is kind of talk to our counselors and talk to our people and get them to watch the fluoride deception, and we can focus on certain things. But you can't be worried if people don't. If you do this by yourself, you look crazy. But if you do this, you know, as a group, then you don't necessarily. So we have to group up anyway. And I know this from my colleagues and I, Toronto Truth Seekers, on the streets, you know, for a year or so, every Saturday, which I'm sure you've seen some footage of, or you've seen us or whatever. You know, people will accept us doing this. And until we get to a point where, in our neo-communist model, we don't accept people doing this, we have to try and do stuff. Because once you actually do something, you realize that, it, you know, here in the city of Toronto and pretty much around the world, people can understand you're coming from a good place. You're doing something that at least you think is right, and that's not trying to be harmful, and that's ultimately not harmful. Because if we're wrong, you know, who cares? And if we're right, then, you know, great. At least, you know, we're fighting for our rights. So, to me, it's not as hopeless as it seems. Because every time anybody's ever tried to do anything, whether it's YouTube videos, DVDs, street actions, you know, writing articles, when everybody's, you know, seriously tried to do something, they've been, you know, rewarded for it by, you know, getting an audience and getting some acclamation. And so, to me, it's just making that hot and making, you know, making it less about beating the New World Order with your one YouTube video and more about making, you know, being as productive as possible and creative as possible to appeal to as many people as possible. If we do that, I think we're good. Nico, you there? All right. All right, I guess Nico's gone, and that speaks to it. You know, the concept of tribe. Well, that's kind of why I prefer flyers to burning DVDs. And I'm not against burning DVDs, and it's just that solution's been there for years, promoted by Alex Jones and the InfoWars team, and it's phenomenal. But I would prefer trying to, as a communicator myself, and not everyone's got the same personality, but we can certainly all communicate. I prefer trying to communicate with the people around me to bring that tribal nature back. To say, look, you know, I'm a citizen of Toronto just like you. I'm talking to you as a fellow Torontonian, a fellow Canadian, in order to engage you in this conversation. And in order to speak to you as a peer from the same, you know, shared living space and shared, you know, environment. So, you know, and with the same shared concerns. So I think that you can do both. I think that there's got to be a million things done. But ultimately, this has to be tied into talk. I mean, here's another idea. A shadow government. As in, you know, you can have a mayor and you can have 44 shadow councillors. Basically, you know, meeting, you know, or at least talking every week and putting down some ideas for what they want to see and how they would vote, how they would discuss things, like a debating society. About real issues here in Toronto. And it'd be fun. That's the thing. Yeah, the thing is that so many people think this is not fun and that it can't be fun. And I'm like, no, it can be fun. It can be fulfilling to actually think that you can make a difference, to actually think that you can... your voice has meaning in a culture where it's not supposed to. You know, it can be a lot of fun. So, anyway, last Thursday I'm out with Buddy and we're hanging out at Yule Bar, and he's showing me stuff on his plenty of fish stuff on his iPhone, and talking about the dating scene and you know it, we had a good time. And then I ran into another iPhone issue on the weekend, as my buddy's 2-day iPhone was competing with his 7-month-old son for his attention. And that was kind of cute. We were all joking. It was pretty open. Bunch of friends there. But it really was fascinating because the iPhone did have more apps, but the kid was cuter. So, you know, it's a tough call. But you can see the effects of technology on us. And in the clip I was going to play from JoeRogan.net, Joe Rogan of UFC fame and Fear Factor fame, stand-up comic and an all-around good guy who also knows Alex Jones and anti-New World Orderville from having traveled in those circles at times. You know, he was talking about how you can go online and just completely lose it. And part of one of the Joe Rogan podcasts I heard recently was all about how people are preferring to live online. And I'm noticing that there's a vibe being engineered out there where we're sort of paranoid in the world. And then we can finally get home and relax online. And I feel this way too at times. You know, the world can be stressful. And online can be where you find your solace. And so people can find solace in online characters, online video game worlds. There are couples out there who do nothing but play, you know, World of Warcraft all the time, get married inside the game, you know, do all sorts of stuff. There's even a Japanese hologram pop star, which you got to check out in Google, where apparently stadiums full of Japanese people are paying money to go see this hologram female pop star singer perform. And so the virtual world is getting much more attractive as the real world gets much more threatening. And that's something that we have to reverse, because we can be controlled much easier in the online world. And, of course, you know, they can just steal the real world and not necessarily give us what they've gotten us used to so far. So a couple of options, couple of things there. I'm just going to look at the cover of the Metro again here. It says here, comedian Amy Sedaris on her new craft book. I hate crafts. Is the cover of the Metro. Rihanna delivers AMA's opening salvo scene, page 30. And it's got Rihanna with a long, beautiful red wig on, looking mighty cleavy. Showing some cleavage here on the cover. And then a little girl in a little pink outfit here with a little toque that says, ho, ho, ho. Oh, man. I know it's innocent. I know it's nothing. I just know that, look, if you happen to be, you know, working for, you know, the satanic pedophile network that runs, you know, the world, the International Satanic Pedophile Network, look up the Franklin cover-up scandal. Look up the work of Senator Nancy Schaefer, according to HenryMAKOW.com, one place. Nancy Schaefer, an outspoken child advocate, was brutally murdered in March. To shrug this off is to accept an evil tyranny, as Georgia State Senator Nancy Schaefer found evidence of deep corruption within the federal Child Protective Services system, which handles children designated as, quote, wards of the state. In 07, she published her findings, which she said later, quote, cost me my Senate seat and may have also cost her life, as she and her husband, Nancy was shot execution style in the back of the head, and her husband was shot point blank in the heart. And the Georgia media and national media wrote it off as a murder-suicide from very optimistic, tireless, moral people who are fighting for the rights of children taken by Child Protective Services, or CAS, here in Canada, the Children's Aid Society, which have similar practices from often perfectly decent parents, or taken from families where, you know, aunties and uncles and relatives could care for the children, but instead of caring for the children, you know, the children are spirited away because these agencies are giving cash bonuses for doing that. So you figure, even if there is a messed up parent out there, maybe there's a nice aunt or uncle who could take care of the kid, but not according to these agencies, because the system is set up for them to get cash bonuses for taking kids. And so you map that to what I see on the cover of the Metro today, and hey, who knows? And then right below that, sex industry set to run amok. Ontario sex worker ruling faces its first challenge on page 8. Well, since sex is one of those topics that gets us all going, let me break down that article for us towards the end of the show. Landmark sex ruling faces first challenge. Minors being prosecuted, violent crime on the rise, and sex workers from all over flocking to Ontario is being painted by the government as a nightmare scenario if the courts fail to uphold key provisions of the country's prostitution laws. But the lawyer who successfully challenged the laws that effectively criminalize prostitution says he doesn't buy the sky's falling scenario that the provincial government in Ottawa will lay out at a hearing today. Laws against keeping a common body house, communicating for the purposes of prostitution, and living on the avails of the trade were, quote, contributing to the danger faced by prostitutes, said Ontario Superior Court Judge Susan Himmel in September in striking them down. The judgment was subject to a stay during which the laws remain in place. Removing the body house law would likely lead to crimes such as human trafficking, prostitution of minors, extortion, assault going undetected, according to Ottawa. And the Ontario government echoed those. So, and it says here is the last part of the article, we don't want people to be lured into this area. We want communities to be dealing with this. These laws have been on the books for a reason and for a long time. So, you know, what does this mean? Well, in a nutshell, you know, there's all sorts of groups out there that push certain ideas, and you wonder why people still believe in Obama, even though, yes, he did inherit a massive mess, It's just that in the 2 years since he's had to deal with it, he hasn't dealt with it and hasn't tried, and nobody, even fans of his, can't really see what he's done about it. You know, he hasn't tried to throw any of the corrupt people in jail or stop the wars or get our rights back or any of that stuff. And yet, the reason people still believe in Obama is because the alternative is Sarah Palin and Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck and that ilk. And so, you know, people are trapped. And so in a situation like this, people are often trapped. And I remember myself arguing as a young and foolish, naive man. Not that I'm not one now. I just work on being less so. I remember saying, oh, you know, video games, you know, don't do anything. And kids are going to have sex anyways. You got to give them sex education. Now I realize that's insane. That argument was first used for teenagers, but now they're going to say, you know what, your kid's probably going to start shagging at 11 or 12, so you better start educating them, you know, in schools with sex ed when they're 7. And so this is all part of a plan. And then you get the people that oppose this publicly as part of the shadow government, you know, dialectic system that don't make any sense either and that sound ridiculous. And so you go along with, you know, one of the two options. As Mr. Alan Watt from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com says, you know, has echoed, I asked him this question. I said, you know, do they give us two sides of a fake dialectic and then make us choose? He says, absolutely. But that's enough for me here on CKLN Fun Fest Day. I apologize for not being able to play the clips in the show without the working computer. The People's DJ, Mr. David James, is up next with your four-hour jazz experience. Do stick around for that. A couple of quick websites to shout out for you. Infowars.com, NaturalNews.com, FluorideAlert.org, VRAN.org for vaccine exemption forms, VigilantCitizen.org for great celebrity information about how our culture creation industry is controlled. Locally, PressForTruth.ca, ConspiracyCulture.com, Book and DVD Store, Queen and Roncesvalles, TorontoTrueSeekers.com, and the Toronto Street Newspaper out there. It is winter. It's a beautiful, nice day, though, so hopefully you guys enjoy a nice day yourselves. And if you flip a homeless guy a toonie for a Toronto Street News, you will not be disappointed. I'm out of here, folks. I'm back on Thursday morning, hopefully with a working computer and a working set list to go on. But do keep in mind, it is CKLN Fun Fest. You can call in at 416-595-1478. As I mentioned during my show, without another way to do it and without people taking the calls right now, I'd like you to call my cell phone, 647-857-5755. Again, 647-857-5755 in the next 10 or 15 minutes. If you'd like to donate to this show, to CKLN Rude Awakening, as part of the show, so I can take down your credit card number and pass it on to the appropriate authorities. Thanks so much, everybody. Have a fantastic day.
What you One day you will see it. For all the things you've been through.